Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from Romans chapter 6, our epistle reading for today. Returning to verse 3 and following, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And then in verse 11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is God's word. Imagine this scene with me. It's a Sunday morning worship service. The front pews are filled with guests. Near the conclusion of the first hymn, four adults stand up, and one of them, holding a baby, they all come forward. The pastor reads from the hymnal and then motions for the adults to bring the baby close to a special bowl of water. After speaking some more words together with the congregation, the pastor reaches into the bowl and pours water on the child three times, saying the name of God. After a few prayers and a final blessing, the adults, looking somewhat relieved, take the baby back to their place in the pew. Now let me ask you a question. In that scenario that we just imagined together, what happened? Some might say, I don't know, nothing much. Some might say, well, it was a rite of passage, a ritual, not unlike other cultures observe. Some might say, it was something we did to get Grandma off our back. Some might say, it's an action that symbolizes sins being washed away. And some others might say, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but the baby sure was cute. Now let me tell you what the Bible says happened. St. Paul writes that a person who is baptized, which is what happened at the bowl of water, a person who is baptized is united with Jesus Christ in a death like his, and is united with Jesus in a resurrection like his. So that baby, held above the baptismal font, has been connected with the crucifixion of Christ and connected with the resurrection of Christ. Everything Jesus did, everything Jesus is, was poured onto and into that little one. And the same is true for anyone who's been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit at whatever stage in life that happened to that person. In baptism, you die and live again with Jesus. And that's not just a metaphor. That is a spiritual reality for the Christian. And what does that really mean? Well, listen again to Paul. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus, the result of baptism. How might life be different if you remembered, and not just remembered, but seized upon and relied upon the value of your baptism every single day? How might the way you look at yourself be different if you took the time to recall God chose you, God adopted you in the water of baptism? I'm convinced that if we would make it a habit to reflect on what God has done for us in baptism, our whole outlook on life could be remade and refashioned. But the truth is that a lot of the time our outlook on life really isn't shaped by this identity all that much. We just don't dwell on the fact that we're baptized people. Now, you may have no memory of the event because you are an infant at the time that it happened. Fair enough. I fall into that category myself. But our neglect of baptism's blessings probably has more to do with human nature than our memory. Now, what I mean is this. Baptism is an offense to man-made religion. The biblical practice of baptism is offensive to mankind's homemade attempts to get to God. Why is that? Because in baptism, God is the one doing the action. Part of the problem I naturally have with baptism is that I didn't do anything. It just happened to me. And there's a part of me that doesn't like the sound of that very much. There is a part of me that wants the credit for everything, including my eternal destiny. And that's what so many people who live right next door to you really believe. There's no doubt that they'll go to heaven when they die because they've been a good person. They've tried not to hurt anyone. If anyone came along who needed something, they gave them the shirt off their backs. You know the drill. And along comes baptism, a practice founded on the biblical teaching that human beings are spiritually dead in sin until God intervenes. A practice founded on the biblical teaching that you don't have it in you to climb up the ladder to God. So God, in Christ, climbed down the ladder to get you. And there's something about that truth that human pride just can't stand. It's so easy for Christian faith to become about me and how I'm doing and what I'm feeling and how hard I'm working. But returning to the Bible's description of baptism is kind of like pushing the reset button and starting all over from the beginning. You see, baptism boils down to this. The work of saving you and me, ultimately from hell, is God's work alone. The work of building a bridge from earth to heaven is the work of Jesus alone. The delivery system by which you receive the gifts that Jesus purchased is baptism. And so, in today's gospel, we're presented with a curious sight. there's Jesus going down into the water to be baptized. And I say it's a curious sight because Jesus didn't need baptism to be forgiven. He didn't need to be forgiven at all. So what's he doing there? Jesus didn't need baptism to be forgiven. We needed Jesus to be baptized so that he would be the first one in the water. You see what's happening there? He wades into the water of our sin. He gets covered in our dirt. In the Jordan River, he began this process of doing things that he didn't have to do for himself, for people who could not do them. And in a way, that describes Jesus' entire purpose in ministry, doing things he didn't have to do for people who couldn't. And so part of the baptismal bond that you and I have with Jesus, that Paul is talking about and describing in Romans, part of that bond is this amazing exchange, and it's always happening. Jesus gets our sin, and we get his perfection. Or think of it this way, Jesus gets our punishment, and we get the rewards that he earned. If you think about it, that doesn't seem very fair. At least to Jesus. But for us, it's the best news ever. The baptismal connection that you have with Jesus is, it applies in many different ways, but one of the best ways that I've heard it described is, it's like an umbilical cord that connects a mother and child in the womb. Now, of course, we know that a mother supplies nutrients and oxygen to her child through that cord in a continuous flow, things that keep the child alive and growing. What you may not always think of is that the child also sends something back through the cord. The baby sends back poisonous waste. And the mother eliminates them for the child. Do you see the comparison? Baptism is that connecting cord between Jesus and you. Through God's extraordinary baptismal connection, all the waste of our sin flows continuously to Jesus and is removed forever. It's expelled through him. In return, Jesus' life-giving strength and perfection flow continuously into you. His life is always being renewed in you. And since you are united with Jesus in this way, you were with him in the water when the Father said, "You are my beloved Son. I am well pleased with you." The words apply to Jesus, and because you're connected to Jesus, they apply to you as well. You are God's beloved child. He is well pleased with you. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Live in your baptism. Let's pray. Father, today we marvel that your Son waded into the water to be baptized, a blessing that he did not need for himself, but one that he received for us. It's so that His righteousness could pass to us, so that His perfection could be gifted to us, so that we could know that when you spoke those words to Jesus, you were also speaking them to us as well. If it hasn't astonished us before, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, allow it to astonish us today, that you look at us, and because Jesus connects himself to us, we can know that we too are your beloved, that you are well pleased in who we are, and may we live in that gospel baptismal connection with you. May we seize it by faith. May we celebrate it. May it be the primary part of our identity. And we pray this because of all the things that Jesus has done. Amen.